Chrysanthemum Cliff.
Yes.
I've been brainstorming all night, and I have a really fun idea for the pet people.
Oh, I love pet people. I'm a pet people.
Yes, me too. Yeah. I'm a multi-species household over here.
I'm exclusive to one pet because my pet, you know, so like not that many days ago, like so December 4th was Spade's birthday, and he turned 9, and it was very special. Aww. I mean, we didn't get him when he was a puppy, so I have no idea how actually old he is. But when we got him on December 4th, they said that he was about 2. So we always call that his birthday. He's a very good dog. Mm-hmm.
Bunny, I love him. He's so sweet.
He's really not. He's terrible, but we love him a lot.
He's been through a lot.
He's absolutely been through a lot. That is true. I'm very happy that he is mine and that we are able to take care of him, even though he is horrible most of the time. Other people would not have been so patient, I would guess.
Well, speaking of patience and animals.
Yes.
This is just kind of a share love, be an awesome human kind of idea if you've got pets. And it can be at any price point.
Sure.
So one of the things that I've always noticed when I go to the vet for our seasonal shots, sure, or our nail trims,
yeah,
whenever somebody's in there for the last time their pet, it's very sad. But the thing that is always a little hard for me is that moment where they have to pay for it.
Yep.
Because you're already doing something that is potentially the absolute worst day of your whole life.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, oh, and that's going to be $127 today, yep, or whatever it is. And I hate that moment. And I thought, you know what would be in the giving spirit, in the camaraderie of, hey, I know how bad you feel today, yep, would be to go to the vet, your vet, and say, here, let me pay for whoever the next person that has to come in here and have that terrible day, yep, is. Let me take care of that financially so that they don't have to pay.
Oh.
And whether they can or not, it doesn't matter. It's just the point of it. Like, let them just go on their way, tell them that it's been covered, and to go home and, you know, take care of themselves.
Oh, that's such a great idea. I love that so much. I've only done that once, and it was literally probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. So hard. Really, really rough. I like that idea a lot.
So I say any price point because maybe you don't have that money to spend. Maybe you just go to your vet and you say, you know what? Here's $20.
Yep.
Here's $50, whatever. Go down your list and see who maybe hasn't had a vaccine in a while. Maybe their parent, their pet parent's going through some hard times. Give them a call and say, it's on me today.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something that we can do to help support our fellow pet parents. And I think a really good indication of maybe somebody having some hard financial times is that their pets haven't had their vaccines,
yep,
this year, because it's an amount of money that they just couldn't get together.
No, I love that. I think that's a great idea, Heather. I like that a lot.
So tell me about something happy now.
All right, let's talk about... So I'm going to talk about a Cinderella story : Christmas wish. Again, not a great title, but that's okay.
Is there a colostomy bag? Why the colon?
Well, that's because that's the you know, the title. Like an actual, like, not a semicolon, but a full colon. It's okay. It's probably a joke. So there is a series of video games, right? And maybe even video games in general that are known for putting, like, sometimes as many as 2 colons in their title. And so it's kind of a running joke in my head about TV shows and video games and movies that have a colon in them. Because to me, like, once you've gotten to the point where you need a colon in your movie, like, it better be a sequel. Like, it absolutely better be a sequel. If this is your first movie, maybe a colon is not appropriate. But what I will tell you is a Cinderella Story Christmas Wish is written by a lady named Lee Dunlap, and she has written, 7 movies. She has 7 movies on the IMDb, starting with A Cinderella Story, starring Hilary Duff, which is very good. Then another Cinderella Story, probably also starring Hilary Duff, followed by A Cinderella Story, Once Upon a Song, a Cinderella story if the shoe fits, and a Cinderella story Christmas wish. So this lady writes a lot of Cinderella things. She has two non-Cinderella stories. I didn't click on them. I would not be shocked if they are also Cinderella-centric. But, like, you know what I say, Heather? When you've got a gig, when you've got something you're good at, stick with it. Like, if you want to write Cinderella movies for the rest of your life, absolutely do that forever. So a Cinderella story, it is a Christmas story. I believe I saw it on Netflix, although I can't be 100% sure. It stars Laura Morano, who you may know from, what is the show? She was on Austin and Ally, which was a like a Disney Channel show. It was kind of fun. Like, it, you know, it's not the greatest show I've ever seen, but she was like a songwriter for a famous like pop star, but who really wanted to be a pop star herself, which is, interestingly enough, kind of what this story is also about. She plays a holiday elf at like a, I'm going to say like a local, like I've never been to one of these, but I see them in movies all the time where it's like a place where you would go and like maybe pick up a Christmas tree and they might have like a stage show of some elf stuff and there's maybe some gifts. Like I've been to pumpkin patches that are like this where you go, like, yeah. I actually went to one this year where, you know, there's a corn maze and there's like lots of really good food. You can buy some pumpkins and you can buy some corn stalks and like you can make a day of going and getting your thing. I've never been to a Christmas tree lot like that, but they seem to exist a lot in movies, so maybe they exist somewhere. She works at something like that, so her and her friend are, they dress up as elves, they come out and do like, you know, songs and stuff, so there's some singing and dancing, and the Santa at the place is this like 18-year-old kid who is not nearly fat enough to be Santa, and is actually incredibly good looking.
And it's, can I ask a question? Yes, is this town called like Grand Slavia or something?
No, I believe
like
this actually does take place in the United States. So, okay. Like specifically California, maybe even. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Her and Santa start kind of flirting. You know, everything's going okay, and she finds out that he is actually exceptionally wealthy. He is like the son of like this massively wealthy like guy that kind of, you know, I don't want to say runs that town, but like is very well known, has a huge Christmas party every year because, you know, it's, you know, the difference between a party and a gala is, you know, just the amount of money you spend on it. Mm-hmm. So the number of people shows, he has a huge Christmas gala every year. She gets invited. It's just cute. You know, I don't want to go to, it's, you can't go too much further into it, you know, spoilers, but there's singing, there's dancing, there's, you know, teenage love. It's, it's good, Heather. It was, I'm not going to say it wasn't predictable. If this had aired on the Disney Channel, like with commercials, actual Disney Channel, I would not have been shocked because it kind of has that feeling. But, you know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with a well-made, well-produced, well-acted Christmas movie that's a little bit predictable. You know, it beats the opposite, and there are plenty of those. So it was fun. It was fun. And like I said, I enjoy the like Cinderella trope of, I mean, she has a horrible stepmother. She's got two ugly stepsisters. They're trying to ruin, you know, her trip to the ball, which is in this case, you know, this Christmas gala. It's fun. It's a good time. So there's no magic. There are no fairy godmothers, but it's pretty good.
You know what I just realized? No. In previous years, we would rate the Christmas movies on... did. 1 through 10 elves on the shelf.
I forgot about that. We did, absolutely. I would say this is probably an 8. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. It was good. Like I said, though, I'm kind of a sucker for, like, I am a bit of a sucker for, like, Disney Channel original movies anyway. And this really has that feel. So if you also, I mean, I will say IMDb gave it a 5.3 out of 10. So, like, take everything I say with a grain of salt.
well, IMDb, they're hard critics.
They are hard critics. And, I mean, at the same time, too, like, I think you have to compare all Christmas movies against other Christmas movies. Like, you can't compare this movie to, you know, like a movie that got released in a movie theater. Like, you're not comparing. Mm-mm. I'm not comparing this against Ever After, like another really good Cinderella movie. Like, I love Ever After. It's a terrific movie. I'm not going to compare those two because they're not the same thing. Like, you compare Christmas movies against other Christmas movies, and this is a good Christmas movie because there are so many bad Christmas movies, Heather. That's what I'm saying. Like, you separate the good ones from the bad ones. This is a good one. It's an 8.
Yeah, if you don't do that with everything in your life, you're just an angry person.
Absolutely.
Honestly. Because, I mean, like me right now, I am dating And am I sitting here comparing this dude directly to Prince William?
No. Maybe the Prince of Belgravia. But yeah. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Grab your joy. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, grab it.